Jimmy Kimmel made a room tone joke at the Oscars?
No, I didn't. Oh.
He just came out and said, all right, let's get 2 minutes of room tone. And everybody laughed. But then he like moved right on. But it was funny.
Damn, I think it actually would have been pretty funny if he was like, okay, thank you guys, but now we have to start all over again. They would have just like fucking like continued to lose it.
All right, well, should we get going?
Yeah, might as well.
All right, welcome to No Hugging, No Learning.
It's a show about one thing, watching Curb Your Enthusiasm for the first time.
I'm Tim Murphy.
And I'm Ted Hollowell.
And today we will be talking about Season 10, Episode 6, The Surprise Party. But before that, what's the deal with stuff from our last episode? Insufficient praise. We only had one little thing, and that is Larry says the impression he does, one of them, is Raymond Massey as Lincoln. And I wanted to know what the hell that was about. Raymond Massey, Canadian actor known for his commanding stage-trained voice and known primarily for his lead role in a movie called Abe Lincoln in Illinois from 1940. He was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actor. He reprised his role as Lincoln on television and in How the West Was Won in 1962. So you wanted a Lincoln for two decades. You called Raymond Massey. So I guess, you know, you had to be alive during those two decades to really get the reference. And we were not. Massey has two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. One for films in the 1700 block of Vine Street and one for television in the 6700 block of Hollywood Boulevard. And his achievements have also been recognized in a signature cocktail. If you want to make a Raymond Massey at home, you just get yourself some rye, some ginger syrup, and some champagne, and you got your Raymond Massey there. When gin is substituted for whiskey and lemon juice is substituted for ginger syrup, so you got gin, lemon juice, and champagne, that's the French 75, which is a drink that Sarah and I served at our New Year's party 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess it was like a trendy cocktail. I looked up trendy cocktails, and one of them was the, I don't remember what it's called now, but everybody was making it. And the other one was the French 75. And I was like, boom, there you go. We'll have some French 75s, and they're very good.
It wasn't an espresso martini, was it?
No, it was the...
I think that's the current like trendy thing.
Yeah, it is. And espresso martinis are amazing. I'm glad they're having a moment because that's the kind of thing I can get behind. I don't remember. Oh, wait. Negroni. The Negroni. That's what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so we served Negronis and French 75s. There you go. Raymond Massey passed away July of 1983 at the age of 86. Somebody was so kind to have uploaded the speech.
One class and another. One race and another. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
All right. So that is Raymond Massey as Lincoln. Now let's do Larry David.
I can do Raymond Massey from doing Lincoln.
Raymond Massey as Lincoln. You never see that.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
A little high. I mean,
it's a little whiny, but it's not bad.
Yeah, he got the nasally, or it sounds like Raymond Massey kind of cuts off his nose when he talks, and he got that. So he nailed that aspect of it. So not bad when you hear him back to back like that. But that's all we had.
All right.
And no extra trivia and tidbits or anything.
No other news or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if you have never listened to us before, we are not a research-heavy show, despite the last 13 minutes?
Yeah, something like
ish.
That.
Being almost exclusively research and bullshit. We like to have our questions pop up naturally in the run of the episode and assign them to ourselves the week following as though we are giving ourselves homework. I've never seen these episodes before. Tim has never seen these episodes before. If we miss anything, if we egregiously skip over anything, please send us an email or send us a tweet. It's at No Hugging on Twitter, at No Hugging _ No Learning on Instagram, or No Hugging No Learning Show at gmail.com. All those links are down in the description of this episode right here. If you like us, you can give us a 5-star rating and a written review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify, whichever app you use. If you like us a little bit more than that, please consider joining us over on Patreon. It's patreon.com/nohugging, where for $5 a month, you get early access to every single episode that we release. And those episodes are going to be a little bit longer. It's got a lot of bullshit that we typically cut out for the free feed. You know, we leave a little bit in for the free feed, but typically, whenever we're not doing shorties, we had a little bit this week. We had probably 10 or so minutes this week that may or may not make it to the free feed. If you want to hear what that is, patreon.com/nohugging. And right now you can sign up and get your first 7 days for free. Want to shout out everyone over on Patreon, like, want to shout out Dan, Liam M, Michael Klatsky, Mole Man, Nate Collins, Tamara Ortiz, the guys and gals over at the Ityville Podcast, John Murphy, Danica Ligorio, J-Dog Conlord, Nick Kudla, Adam Webb, and Megan Stolarski. Thank you guys so much. Again, patreon.com/nohugging, link down in the description. But Tim, that's not the only way they can help the show out.
That's right. If you have bullshit building up inside of you, get it out by starting a podcast with Libsyn, Libsyn. It's the only place we've ever done our podcast. It's a one-stop shop. We're recording it on Libsyn right now. It's hosted by Libsyn, and Libsyn distributes it to all the places you get your podcasts. Go to Libsyn.com, use the promo code HUGGING. You get up to 2 months free, and you help us out as well. Go to Libsyn.com, use the promo code HUGGING.
And that link is also down in the description. All of that being said, season 10, episode 6, The Surprise Party. Original air date, February 23rd, 2020. And if you're looking at TV Guide that night, you were going to see Larry enlists the help of a new friend to ensure Jeff's surprise party doesn't go awry.
Is that it?
That's it. That was the
whole thing. Wow, they didn't go for a second plot line. Interesting.
They did not.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean,
I guess it kind of gets two things in there in one sentence. Larry gets a new friend. Jeff's got a surprise party that he doesn't want to, like, you know, go to hell.
Yeah. This almost is like one that we'd write, try to integrate two plot lines into one sentence.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. We'll see if there's anything we can add to it at the end, but I doubt it because it would just make it longer. We don't like doing that. We open as Larry pulls up to the Spite store and parks in the handicap spot because he's just dropping some stuff off, but he is chastised by what turns out to be Mocha Joe's mom, Mocha Jane. And when she realizes who Larry is, she, you know, throws the gauntlet down and says, "We're going to take you down," because she knows all about the Spite store.
I loved Mocha Jane, the back and forth with her.
Yeah, that's great. She was a great actress, first of all, but then naming her Jane and Larry going, "Oh, you're Mocha Jane," because she doesn't introduce herself as that. Mocha Joe doesn't. Always says, "I'm Mocha Joe."
And she calls her son Joseph too.
Yeah,
she doesn't say, "Oh, my son is Mocha Joe. My son Joseph owns this shop."
Yeah. So it was like the first time someone called her Mocha Jane, you know, and she embraced it immediately. Inside the Spite store, Freddie drops by, and I noticed he went to Mocha Joe's before he came over to Larry's, which is not something a friend would do. You know, I don't know why he brought his Mocha Joe cup in, but Freddie drops by, and Larry's telling him about all the great stuff. They're going to have little coat racks next to every table so you can hang your coat up. We're going to have Purell at every table so you can use it before you eat your muffin.
The sound effect that Larry makes for squirting the Purell into his hand.
I totally missed it. Could you replicate it?
Yeah, it was very visceral. He's like, "We're going to have Purell at every table," and you just... I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's a funny squirt sound effect. But it's also a joke that was about to be not a joke.
I know,
because this is
late
February of 2023.
Like, how did this happen?
Yeah, like the,
how did this line up in this timeline to come out two weeks before everyone is hunkering down inside? Or, well, most people with brains are hunkering down inside.
Yeah, and everybody was using Purell because we had no idea what the hell this thing was and how it traveled and stuff like that. And we wanted Purell everywhere we go. I still carry, like, it's one of those things, like a holdover, like, man, why wasn't I doing this all the time?
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I have Purell in the car every time I get gas. The first thing I do when I get back in is use that Purell. The first, whenever we go to the grocery store, first thing we do when we get in is everybody Purells, you know, it's like, it's just so handy to have around everywhere now. But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that it was an anomaly. Larry's like, "We're gonna have Purell at every table." It's like, wow, that's not funny. Like, it's something you should have.
Well, I mean, because Freddie makes the joke and says, "What are Howie Mandel and his entire family coming in here every day?" Which is very funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah, totally.
Jesus.
Then Larry takes him into the bathroom and shows him the P cube. It is done. It is hooked up. We've got the real thing. This is not a prototype anymore. It's a real P cube. And there's also no toilet. because there's no defecators allowed at go somewhere else, go home to defecate.
No toilet, and we get another tease at the penis guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you caught it, but like it comes down very quick. If we don't get someone getting their dick chopped off, I don't want to say I'm going to be upset, but I'm going to be a little disappointed.
We'll see. Maybe somebody will like circumcise themselves or something.
Oh, my God.
That's what I think of when I think of Dick Guillotine, by the way, which is a joke in Robin Hood Men in Tights. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. You just made me think of that. So, and then he brings him into the ladies' room where Larry has now reinvented a toilet for women, just for women. You know, you face the wall. He was like, I think they've been jealous of the fact that we have to stand up and they have to like squat over a dirty toilet seat. Now he's going to make it easier. There's like little rests for your knees and a bar that you hold on to that you squat over the toilet. And
Freddie's line is like, did you consult any women on this? Larry's like, no. Like, okay, I'm sure they'll love it.
It's like one of the most male things that's ever been said on a very male-dominated show. Like, when something is invented for women by men. It's like,
did you consult any women on this?
Women.
No.
Yeah. No. That was our board of directors, which is all male.
Which is all white men. It's a team of 12 white men. That and the where are their pants supposed to go, Larry? They're like, oh, whatever. Like,
I love that. Yeah, whatever they do with
you
them.
Designed.
Like, what do you mean?
You designed a new toilet, and you didn't think about what people are going to be doing with their pants.
Yeah. Now, what I think would happen is maybe grosser than hovering over a toilet seat, but I guess it's what you got. I think you're going to kind of like waddle over it, and there is an opening. The seat does kind of hover above the ground, jutting out from the wall, like a toilet might. But I think you just kind of waddle over it like that. So your jeans will now rub against the floor and or the bottom of a public toilet.
Which I think I don't want to say it's worse,
yeah,
but it's almost as bad.
The other thing is there are two of these toilets next to each other. Does he expect women to use these like men use urinals with no wall in between? And by the way,
no wall.
Like two people using them at the same time, your legs are basically touching, like your elbows or something. Like you're that close. They were that close to each other. I was like, women really supposed to go two at a time on these things? But you know, he did invent a new toilet, so we'll see if any women actually have any feedback on it when the store opens up. And Larry has one more idea too: a cup that keeps coffee hot,
which absolutely 100%. Already exists at this point.
I was gonna say, yeah, they had to have, because I use a mug warmer, like a toaster that you plug in on. But does one exist that is actually attached to the mug so you can put it down wherever you want and it stays warm?
Yeah, it's called the Ember. They sell them in fucking Starbucks.
There we go. All right. So it's independent of a, because I use a regular coffee mug on that warmer, but this is a cup that keeps it warm. So there you go. And we know that the Ember predates, you know, 2019 or whatever, whenever they filmed this, right?
Yeah. Ember's founder and CEO, Clay Alexander, is an inventor who holds more than 200 patents worldwide, very similar to the inventor in the episode.
Is he a white supremacist?
Ooh, I don't know. First generation of the heated travel mug launched in 2010. And in 2018, this self-heating mug drew investors like Nick and Joe Jonas.
Whoa. What happened to that? Why are the other two Jonases like, nah, that thing's not going to work. Give me a break.
Oh,
nobody
you mean
wants that.
Kevin and Frankie?
Yes, I do. I'm glad you remembered the bonus Jonas, because I almost didn't remember
I will always remember the bonus Jonas. Are you kidding me?
Because I wouldn't have been able to remember Kevin. It's just such a non-famous name. You know, it's like, oh, you know that famous guy, Kevin? Like Kevin Nealon, that's one. That's the only other famous Kevin I can think of. Oh, Kevin Hart. Sorry. The most famous comedian on the planet. Yeah. But he's got Hart to really do a lot of work there, you know? That's just a great last name that really pulls the Kevin up into the rarefied air.
I mean, you got Kevin James.
Oh, yeah, Kevin James. Jeez, wow. There are a lot of famous Kevins. All right. Maybe I was wrong about Kevin Jonas. It just doesn't sound like a famous name. You know, it doesn't have the pizzazz that something like Frankie might have. But
I mean,
now I'll try to remember.
If my third example of the most famous Kevin is Kevin James, no, I think you've got a point.
Meme star Kevin James.
You mean Kevin James from Here Comes the Boom?
I will always, by the way, one of my favorite stand-up specials of all time, anytime Kevin James gets mentioned, Sweat the Small Stuff is one of the funniest hours that has ever been on TV. I still say, yeah, right. I love it. But I noticed he had a new one. I think it's on Netflix or something. I wanted to check that out. I was like, I wonder if he's still funny in that way as far as stand-up goes. I wonder if he's still funny. So Susie shows up. And, Freddie's going to hook Larry up with an inventor, the one we've kind of alluded to. Susie shows up. She's going to throw a surprise party for Jeff, and she needs Larry to help with the ruse and make sure he doesn't find out. Larry, though, wants to consult with their cardiologist to make sure Jeff's heart, which has been a topic of conversation on the show, you know, going back, you know, through the seasons, you can find these little mentions about Jeff's heart problems and his health issues. Larry wants to consult with their cardiologist to make sure his heart is up for a surprise. And so Larry heads to the medical center, Dr. Holzer's office, where the receptionist is Rebecca Romaine.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize her. What the fuck?
I didn't. I mean, I was like, is that? I wasn't for sure until the end credits when I was like, I'll be damned, it was. Yeah. Rebecca Romaine. Right. So I guess all this right. is post Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Yes, I would assume so. I think that was like that was late 2000s, right?
I still always want to call her that though, Rebecca Romaine Stamos. but this was Rebecca Romaine. And Larry picks up Dr. Holzer's business card and notices that he's put Rusty in quotes on his business card. He's Andrew Rusty Holzer, which Larry finds odd. And he asks the receptionist about the waiting room artwork, and the receptionist suspects that she's being hit on. But Larry says, you know, not every conversation is a hit. The world's not a hit. You can, although Larry probably was, but when he got, I guess, negged, for lack of a better term, by the receptionist, this was probably him backpedaling a little bit. Like if she had been into it, he would have made a move, but she was, you know, but, and I have a feeling that the world really is like that for a woman as beautiful as Rebecca Romaine or the receptionist that she's playing. You know, I think hot people do. Yeah,
I would bet because I'll tell you what, I'm good friends with a hot person. I'm good friends with a hot person, Tim. I'm good friends with a TV anchor on our news station down here. And she hosts the Lifestyle show in the middle of the day. And she's constantly posting like on her story, like, just these dudes who have the fucking tenacity to like either comment lewd things or DM her lewd things. Like 2 days or yesterday, it was her photo of her trying like ice cream or something or something kind of gross. Someone comments, "I'm sure you've had worse things in your mouth."
Oh my god!
There was one this
morning.
That is
the worst.
There was one this morning of someone emailed her. Someone sent this to her on her work email and said, "I'm curious if you wore slippers or flip flops went barefoot on air when you were anchoring newscasts. I found it fascinating when my best friend used to work with some barefoot coworkers on a morning newscast. I love TV news and knowing behind the scenes information and secrets." And she posted the screen cap of his email with his name uncensored. And her reply was, "Actually, I wear platform steel-toed boots so I can step on disgusting men."
Oh my gosh. Like, wow.
Such a good response. she that wasn't even the end. She ended it with, "I hope you find God."
Whoa. Good Lord. Wow.
And I asked her, I was like, "I'm sorry you have to put up with this," and she's like, "It's every single day," and sent me four very real messages that she got. I won't go into the details with them.
Larry finally gets to meet with Dr. Holzer, who is this guy that I recognize, whose name I don't know. I'll just skip to the end. And did you recognize this guy? I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
I recognize him. I think he was the stepdad. I think he was Peter in Kidding.
Okay, that sounds like something he might... Yeah, his name is Greg German, which I didn't know before I looked it up. I just recognize him from a lot of stuff. I think he was on Ally McBeal for a long time, even though I didn't watch that show. It was just kind of ubiquitous in the 90s. So, yeah, he's just one of those actors that I recognize.
Holy
one of those this guy.
Shit. Tim, what? He's from Talladega Nights, the there Ballad of Ricky
yes.
Bobby.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely remember him from that. Yeah, I did see that.
He's... what's his character's name? It was he's the owner of the team, Larry Dennett Jr.
Okay.
Dennett Racing.
Yep. He's been on Grey's Anatomy. Ooh, the new Will Trent. Yeah, Ally McBeal. He did the whole thing. Yeah, one of those that guys. Oh, guess what he was in? Here Comes the Boom.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. No, he wasn't.
And he was in Get Hard. He loves working with Kevins. He can't handle not being in a Kevin movie. Loves Kevins, famous Kevins. I don't even know if that made it into the main episode, but that's why you need Patreon. So Dr. Holzer gave himself the nickname Rusty, and he's trying it out with the business cards. And he mentions that, you know, to Larry, he wouldn't be comfortable with a surprise party unless you have a doctor on site. And when Dr. Holzer finds out that the party is at Scopa, and that Chris Martin from Coldplay is going to be there, well, now he wants to be that doctor on site, which Larry kind of sees through that ruse. Speaking of ruses, immediately, you know, he just wants an invite to this swanky party. But he does think it's a good idea as well. On the way out, Larry, on his way to the bathroom, gets stuck behind a slow walker, Fred Armisen. We got some Fred Armisen here.
Yeah. Nice. Is this the first time he's been on the show?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely a guy made for Curb, and we see it throughout, you know, the running gag in this. I mean, you just get that some of that great Fred Armisen improv. He's so amazing at that, like, just dumb, wide-eyed improv. Larry passes him and gets to the bathroom first, and afterwards, of course, the slow walker is waiting there, saying, they're like, hey, you went by me, and Larry said he did the math, and he would have had to wait, you know, 6 minutes or whatever he says, but because he went first, you only had to wait 17 seconds. So, but he still thinks Larry was inconsiderate. But Larry calls the slow walker a hallway hog. But he still offers, as we find out, his name is Wally. He still offers to, let's go meet for a cup of coffee. I'll make it up to you. How about that? Which Wally definitely takes him up on. Over at Jeff and Susie's, Susie says the Holzers are boring, aggressively boring, in fact, which I always like aggressive put on a word like that. It's just, it's very poetic. They're aggressively boring. And he's not going to finagle his way into an invitation to this swanky party. But Larry now is like, well, why doesn't she want a doctor there so bad? He starts putting two and two together and accuses Susie of trying to kill Jeff with a surprise party. Mm-hmm. This is while Susie is holding a knife and chopping aggressively.
It's not until she's like very aggressively chopping this celery. Just chop, chop, chop. Also, I looked up, it was not Greg German in Kidding. It was a guy named Justin Kirk, and they really don't even look alike. they do, like, if you squint and are maybe 50 feet away, but anyway, that's besides the point.
So, yeah, it's just those kind of guys. And Susie says, if you ruin the surprise, I'm going to fuck you up. And goes back to aggressively
as she's holding the knife,
threateningly chopping celery. I don't know anybody who needs this much celery that she has chopped, by the way. It has an effect. Larry goes over to the inventor's house, a.k.a. Alan Tudyk. Oh, my gosh. We got like so many friggin' cameos this time around. We got Rebecca Romijn. We got Greg German. We got Fred Armisen. And now we got old Tudyks showing up. That's what Doug Benson's friends with him, and so he's on every now and then, and he calls him old Two Dicks, which I'm sure Alan has heard since he was in kindergarten,
maybe
even preschool. You know, you don't grow up with a name like Two Dick, and people don't take advantage of it. And so he is taking this assignment to create a self-warming coffee mug personal because he hates cold coffee, telling us when it must be consumed, like coffee is in charge of us. He has... You know, he has kind of a European accent, and he also has a German shepherd named Adolf, which he says is after his grandfather, but Larry suspects is after, of course, the famous dictator. And when the inventor goes off to do something, the dog starts barking at Larry until he gives a Sieg Heil and says Heil Hitler, and then the dog just rolls over immediately, like, and loves Larry.
Like, rolls over on his side, is ready for Larry to, like, pet his belly.
Yeah.
I'm like... Oh my God.
But Boris, I loved his explanation for this. He's like, wait, did you put your arm out like this? He's like, I give him treats like that to train him. And I say, heel. And so instead of Heil, he might, you know, he got heel mixed up with Heil. and thought you were giving him a treat, and that's why he rolled just over.
Writes it off immediately. That's it.
I believed him, though. I totally believed him until the next scene when Freddie is saying that he's not what. He's not a white supremacist. First of all, he's an outdoorsy guy, which you can be an white supremacist. They love marching outdoors.
You can absolutely be an outdoorsy guy and be a white supremacist. Yes,
a lot of them love their survivalist fantasies of having to live off the lamb and stuff like that. So if anything, it lends more credence.
What was Freddie's line, though? Like, how does he set it up?
Well, that he thinks he's a storm chaser because he wears a shirt all the time that says Storm Front. Which is the very famous white supremacist organization. Yeah, it's like the most famous white supremacist gang in the United States is Stormfront. So he's like, no, he does the tornado chasing. He wears a Stormfront shirt.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But so they're testing out the prototype, and it works perfectly. And Larry tells Leon and Freddy about Susie's plan to kill Jeff with the surprise party. And Larry has a conundrum. If he ruins a surprise party, Susie's going to fuck him up. If he doesn't ruin the surprise party, he loses his friend. But he's also like not too, they're like, with a lot of seriousness, they're like, wow, what are you going to do? And Larry's like, I'm not going to tell him. It's like that.
Yeah, because I think Freddie even says, it's like, you'll have to live with that on your conscience.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. Because he's building it up as this huge conundrum. He's like, I'm not going to tell him. I'm just going to just let nature take its course. Larry has two appointments in Beverly Hills tomorrow, so he doesn't know what he's going to do because it's not enough time to go to an appointment and come home. And so his solution is to go to Dr. Holzer's office. He doesn't have an appointment with the doctor. He doesn't need to see the doctor. He is just using the waiting room to wait. He must also insist to the receptionist, Rebecca Romijn, that this is not a hit. He's not there to hit on her, even though she's like, oh, so you're just going to sit here for no reason and stare at me. And it's not a hit. Okay. Dr. Holzer does come out, and he says that Larry tells him Susie nicks the idea of a invitation to the party. But then Larry comes up with a plan. Contact Jeff and ask him to go out to dinner at Scopa on the 20th and ignore Susie when she cancels, which I thought was weird because why would Susie have to cancel? Because the dinner's not real anyway. And I don't get, unless they were going to drive together and that was the ruse, I don't get why Susie would have had to cancel the dinner. Just go, oh, well, the doctor's not coming to the party, but the dinner's also fake too, and it'll get Jeff to Scopa. So boom, problem solved. I thought it was really weird that this was the plan. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Does that make sense why it was confusing?
It was a little confusing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right to think that.
But that's the plan anyway. And when you get the text from Susie, pretend you didn't get it. Which scares the doctor, but he agrees that this is the plan. In the car with Wally, Larry spots Susie. This is like post them hanging out for a little bit. Larry spots Susie, and they follow her to West Side Travel and Tour, which is a fake sign that was put over Corner Construction, which is at 837 Via de la Paz in Pacific Palisades. And I was really helped out by being right next door to Rodeo Realty, which the Pacific Palisades office is still right next door to the Corner Construction, a.k.a. West Side Travel and Tour. Larry and Wally park in the handicap spot because Wally has a handicap placard, which is very handy. And they spy. He convinces him to go in and spy on Susie. And Fred Armisen doing the slow walk with the walker and just being so dumb and over-explaining everything. That's the bit that they keep coming back to where he's like, you know, he explains things that don't need explaining when he's telling a story. Then he's traveling. So, and when Larry yells at him to inside to hurry up, and he's already like almost to the front of the car, and he turns around to see what Larry is saying, he's like, oh, and he walks back just as slowly. That cracked me up to no end. That was such a hilarious bit. I was like, no, turn around. What are you doing? Because Larry just doubled the time it's going to take for him to get in there because he's turning around. Oh, what are you saying? I can't hear you. That was just hilarious. So he goes in, Wally goes into the travel agency, and Susie is booking a trip as she can to the Bahamas, which Jeff hates. And so Susie is booking this island getaway as fast as she can, which Larry finds suspect. Dropping Larry off, Larry asks if, since Wally mentioned he's going out of town, can I borrow the handicap placard? And this is where he over explains, he's like, okay, well, okay, here's how it works. You hang it on the window. There's no lock, so you can just kind of pull it off. Like, and Larry's like, I know. He's like, and you see, it's got a number here, G309. He's like, I don't need all this info. I can see the number.
I fucking loved Fred Armisen's character in this. I know. Everything that he needs to over-explain, I'm like, I know so many people like this. And I sound like every stereotypical sitcom fan of like, ha-ha, he funny. I know person like him.
Yeah, it was hilarious though, and it's Fred Armisen is so good at it, and you know, I feel like that it's one of the reasons I loved Portlandia. So many of his characters were like that, and so much of it was improv. I felt like, but Larry does get to borrow the placard, and he runs inside to show it off to Leon, and they go on a handicap placard. I don't know what you want to call it, marathon, some, you know, just using it everywhere they can. They park in front of the Spite store, much to the chagrin of Mocha Jane, who Leon goes, is that the Hobbit? Oh my gosh. I don't know if I caught this. She comes, what? She comes out because she's like a short, stout woman. Honestly, she looks more like a dwarf if you're going to make a Lord of the Rings, but like a dwarf is a real term in in English, so it wouldn't play that. The same as is that a Hobbit?
Who's saying this? Leon when they pull
Leon
up?
Leon says it, yeah. it was hilarious. And then they are getting a ticket near the intersection of Ventura Boulevard and Topeka, which I could tell because of Norman's rare guitars in that spot where it's been since February of 1975.
Wow, and go Norman.
This guy Norman, like they have like a picture section of his, I think it says celebrities. And when you click on that, the scroll bar gets about a millimeter in height because you start scrolling down and literally every famous person has been to Norman's rare guitars. I mean, just scrolling down an inch on the page, you see Tom Petty, Bruno Mars, Slash, Chris Isaac, Post Malone, George Harrison for crying out loud. I mean, you can scroll forever on this site and see him with everybody. And you might also recognize the Norman's Rare Guitar t-shirt that Jason Segel wears in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, now available on Patreon. Yeah.
Oh my God. The movie that you hated.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm not a huge fan. It didn't hold up for me. But, you know, check it out. See if you disagree. Our review of it is on Patreon right now. But yeah, when there are scenes where Jason Segel's wearing a Norman's Rare Guitars t-shirt, which you can buy at the Norman's Rare Guitar website. But when, you know, I guess the lady didn't notice the handicap placard when she was writing the ticket, but Larry and Leon pointed out to her and she rips it up. Larry and Leon are waved into a full lot at an arcade that's very busy, where they end up having a great time, and Leon wins a wiffle ball bat. And for Larry, with his extra tickets, he gets a matzah scented Star of David car air freshener for his car, for Larry's car, and which Larry appreciates the gift. Over at Jeff and Susie's, Jeff says that he's set up dinner with Dr. Holzer, and Susie tells him to cancel the dinner plans. We're not doing that. They're boring. Over at Larry's home, Larry and Leon pull up, and Boris, that's the inventor's name. I forget how we found that out, but we must have heard it somewhere because this is where I wrote it down. Boris is dropping off all of the cups. I mean, Larry has gone from prototype to full shipment of an invention in like
a week.
Yeah, maybe it's like 24 hours to a week. Like, we don't know how long it's been, but it's absolutely crazy how quick this happened. And Larry once again calms the dog down with a Heil Hitler and a Sieg Heil salute.
This time, yeah,
inside the car. Boris shows off that now the cup. This was funny, I thought. Where he's like, I looked at a spectrum of colors and I went with white.
Because I think he even said, because it's the best color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Larry goes, I could see why you choose that. I think I know why you went with that. Or something like that. He also has invented a power saucer, like a coaster that you put the thing on that charges the battery of, which is really ingenious. It really is a cool invention. I don't know how the ember is charged, but being able to put it on a wireless charger like that is pretty awesome.
That's exactly how the ember works.
Cool. They just got him. Boris just went and bought a bunch of embers and is charging Larry double for him.
Basically, yes. But there was another line in here that Boris drops that I'm actually kind of wondering why they didn't just, you know, go for it. You know, okay. Go with the joke, because Boris says something about finally a solution to cold coffee.
I agree. Like, I totally agree.
Why was that not rewritten of like...
This is the final solution
The final solution to rid the world of cold coffee or something like that. I'm like,
yes,
come on. It's right there.
I know. And maybe that was close enough for them but I agree. I think they could have taken the extra step and it would have been funnier, because at this point you just go, oh, solution. And he said, finally, and then the solution. I think it would have been funny if he just came out and said, final solution. I agree. Well, Adolf, by the way, eats the Star of David air freshener and ruins the handicap placard in the process, because the star was hanging right there next to it, and Adolf chews up both of them. So when Wally arrives to pick up the placard, Larry tells him that, you know, it's going to have to be replaced. And once again, Wally gives him way too many details. Well, now you're going to have to go to the DMV, okay? And you're going to have to go, you go there and you park and you go in, like all of those minute details that Larry does not need. And then also just like, as he is trying to figure out how to get off the porch, at which point he does a full circle. Larry's like, why did you just go around in a circle? And he decides it's easier to go down in reverse. And Larry ends up just like closing the door on him. He doesn't even wait for him to leave the front porch. Was just absolutely hilarious. So golfing with Jeff and Larry, Jeff is out of breath. And he also reveals that Susie is being very nice to him all of a sudden out of nowhere, and he's going to take it because she's being an absolute doll, he says. And again, more smoke for Larry's theory that something is going on with Susie and Jeff's surprise party. So Larry calls Wally and says, look, I know this guy. You got to be there and tell him there's a surprise party inside for him, and that way he'll be prepared for it. I think we get a little bit more of Wally's signature too much detail about things during the phone call as well.
I don't know if I have anything to wear. And Larry's you're not coming into the fucking party.
You're not going inside. So over at Scopa Italian Roots, as its formal name is called, it is at 2905 Washington Boulevard in Venice. And this is a swanky ass place, Ted. I mean, we're talking $20 salads, $30 pasta. Ooh. If you want the veal Milanese, how about $89?
Oh, I know. God.
If that T-bone sounds good, $82. I mean, the $66 pork chop. I mean, this is you're going to be dropping some bank at Scopa. The head chef was a contestant on Top Chef, Bravo's Top Chef as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's no wonder that it is still open. It's got it going on. That is where the party is. And Susie is saying, remember, lots of noise, lots of loud noise when Jeff comes in. She's handing out noisemakers and stuff like that. And Larry is eyeing her suspiciously. Wally is denied a handicap parking spot because he doesn't have his placard anymore. And so he's got to drive around and look for a parking spot. We get the real Chris Martin, yet another cameo here in Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Larry mentioned, you know, he's like, oh, you're going to perform tonight? He's like, yeah, we're going to sing. And he's like, you want to come and sing a song with me? And Larry's like, honestly, I'll probably leave before you go on. That was great. Because, I mean, Larry doesn't mean it by any offense. It's like, you're going to go on too late. I know it. You know, like, I'm honestly probably going to leave before you go on. And also, I can't watch people looking at you like you being amazed at you singing. Like, that was hilarious too. And also, we know because of his aversion to being mentioned in the same breath as U2, Larry hates rock music. So he doesn't want anybody to know that he might be enjoying rock music either. There's just so many things wrong with Larry being at a place where Chris Martin is going to perform. But I just thought that was hilarious. Honestly, I probably could. But then it comes around to the point where Chris sort of shames him so much that he's like, I'll stay. And Chris is like, I don't know if I want you to at this point. So Dr. Holzer comes over and he ends up talking Chris's ear off while Wally, again, he's now found a parking space and he's slowly making his way to Scopa. I noticed one business that he walks by is called Nushi, which is 7.4 miles away from Scopa. you know, I mean, if you're just walking normally, Google says that it's going to be 2.5 hours, a 2.5 hour, 7 mile trek from where Wally parked to Scopa. Yeah, I know. I don't think they expected anybody to actually do the geographic math, but
we
We did it. We nailed you, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Don't pull that shit in my house. Yeah, and but he does make it there as Jeff arrives at the party, and he doesn't hear, because he's so far away, he doesn't even hear Wally's pleas, like, hey, there's a surprise party for you. But when Jeff walks in, he is surprised by the surprise party, and he survives. But Susie puts the brakes on this great party so she can curse out Dr. Holzer for showing up to the party.
Well, much as we learned whenever she was threatening Larry for possibly like telling Jeff or something with that knife in the kitchen, this party was never about Jeff. It was what Susie wanted. She's throwing a surprise party because she wants it to be a surprise. It's not about Jeff.
That's true. That's true. Larry's like, no one likes surprise parties, and it is for the host in this case. You're right. Chris Martin, Scopa. Yeah, Jeff, neither of those seem like Jeff things. You know, Jeff doesn't seem like a guy who could name a Coldplay song. Yeah, I think you're right. And so she's so pissed, and she stops the party dead just to confront him, and comes at him so hard that Dr. Holzer has a heart attack, and that's when Frolic starts to play, and that's the end of the episode. The other name besides Greg German and Rebecca Romijn that I noticed in the credits that I want to add is Adolf, was played by Varko.
Oh,
Varko the dog.
Good boy. I'm sure he's not actually a racist.
No. I'm sure he was just acting. Hey, it's still light. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. We're going to wrap this up, and my wife is not even home yet. This is an odd circumstance.
Weird.
All right. Well, Tim, do we got any homework this week?
I did not write anything down.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What do you like for cover art this week?
I gotta say, I don't like HBO's cover art. As funny as it is, it doesn't make sense for the episode of Larry and Leon playing the virtual reality game. Although I did like them at the arcade. I'm surprised I couldn't find out where this arcade was. I'm kind of disappointed in myself.
That was a lot of fun, and I didn't touch on it personally, but like, I loved how they, in having use of the handicap placard, that's like one of the first places they go, is Leon says, This arcade's been doing big business and you can never get in. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is the most 12-year-old boy little shit.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, they're doing big business. So that I don't think would make good cover art. But let me see, what else might? Man, Larry and Wally.
Larry and Chris Martin.
Yeah, Larry and Chris Martin and Dr. Holzer, maybe, if there's a shot
that'd
of all
be good.
Of them.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, Larry doing a Nazi salute is pretty funny. I don't think it should be the cover art, but it's probably a good shot.
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, it was a funny way to get rid of the, you know, of all the ways to get rid of, when you do the backwards math of like, all right, we need this placard to get destroyed. How does it get destroyed? A dog. Why does a dog destroy it?
He's racist?
What if he's racist and there was a Star of David air freshener that smells like matzah there? Okay, why is he racist? Who's his owner? You know, where did Larry get the air freshener that smells like matzah? Like, I mean, when you walk backwards from that, you're like, why couldn't it just be it fell in the trash or it fell off a bridge? He's like, it's gotta be
more than that. Gotta be more than that.
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to do Adolf in the car. It could be a funny one.
Maybe Adolf like growling at Larry in the car.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Lots of good options.
All right, I'll see what I can make work. But let's see what we can do about this week's description. So we had Larry enlist the help of a new friend to ensure Jeff's surprise party doesn't go awry.
I think it's perfect.
Damn. Yeah. It's. It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, it's like, because, you know, going awry to Susie is the surprise gets ruined. Going awry to Larry is that Jeff dies. And it describes both of those things so well, you know. And he enlists Wally's help, a new friend's help, to get both accomplished. He doesn't ruin the surprise, and Jeff doesn't die. It's one word for both of those scenarios. Yeah, it's great. It's one of their best.
All right, well, I mean, that's typically what I say whenever we improve it. So we can't come up with anything better with our human brains, but maybe the robots can.
Yes.
Tim, let's get into Curb Your Enthusiasm.
All right, here's what we put into ChatGPT. Please write a synopsis of episode 6 of season 10 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Surprise Party. And here is what ChatGPT says. In episode 6 of season 10 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, titled The Surprise Party, Larry David finds himself caught in the middle of a series of unexpected events when he attends a surprise party for his friend Jeff Green. Whoa, that's not bad, actually. But it's been getting the first sentence pretty well. Let's see if it... As the party gets underway, Larry becomes increasingly frustrated by the behavior of the other guests, who seem oblivious to the social norms of the event. Things take a turn for the worse when Larry accidentally reveals the surprise to Jeff, causing chaos and confusion among the guests. As tensions rise, Larry finds himself in a series of awkward and hilarious situations as he tries to navigate the fallout from his mistake. Along the way, he encounters a cast of colorful characters, including an overbearing mother-in-law, a bumbling waiter, a flirtatious ex-girlfriend, all of whom who contribute to the chaos of the evening. Through it all, Larry must rely on his trademark wit and charm to navigate the party and salvage his relationship with Jeff.
I tell you, that trademark wit and charm, man.
Yeah, that Larry charm.
It wasn't doing too bad until it just decided to make up a bunch of characters.
Yeah, it got the first sentence. It's been getting the first sentence. So maybe with machine learning, it will learn and eventually start getting, you know, maybe the second sentence.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Tim, did you like this episode?
I did. Yeah, I had a good time in this episode. A lot of amazing guest stars that added to the, you know, added to the enjoyment. I can't give it a star, though. I thought it was below the average that was set.
Okay.
In the last episode, Insufficient Praise. So as great as it was, I can't give it a star, but I enjoyed it. What about you?
See, I'm glad that you did not give it a star, because I think I would have had to, and I don't really like doing this, I would have had to raise my rating had you given yours a star. Mm-hmm. But now I feel confident in what I had given this after watching it. I'm going to give it a star low, because I did like it, but I'm like, there was enough in here that I enjoyed, but there was still a good amount that I'm like, okay, this episode's 38 minutes long. Let's pick it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that when you look at the beginning and you're like, again, where we ended up, you're like, wow, that's a lot of episode. There was a lot in this episode. So yeah, I totally understand your rating of star low. Totally get it.
All right, well, next week we have got season 10, episode 7, The Ugly Section. Original air date March 1st, 2020. And if you are looking in TV Guide that night, you are gonna see Larry capitalizes on a friend's death and notices a troubling discrepancy at a trendy new restaurant.
All right. It might be the friend that gets mentioned. I think we get some Richard Lewis in this episode, so that'll be great. But besides that, is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. For No Hugging, No Learning, I'm Tim Murphy.
I'm Ted Hollowell. Be good.